Lord on Wednesday night. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 26, 28. Proverbs 26, 28. And probably not have you read a bunch here tonight, but we'll hop around and do different things. We are looking at the sins that the Bible talks about the tongue. We're in James chapter 3, so that's our launching point. And we've been looking at the last couple weeks about speaking evil against others. That means when I say something, what's coming out of my mouth is bringing an evil report about someone else. But you know what? You can go just as horribly wrong by speaking good about somebody else. Huh? You're like, what? You know what? We're going to look at this aspect here because there is something that is talked about called smooth talk. Talk that just sounds so good. You know, just goes down nice and easy through the eardrums and hits the heart and makes us flutter a little bit. Whew, man, this is good. And something that we really enjoy. What is that word? What are we thinking about here? Flattery, yes. Okay, so we kind of have an idea of what that is, I think, for the most part. But I want to just look at the Scripture and try to identify from the Scripture a good biblical definition. And hopefully we can walk out of here with something like that as you go away to kind of test for yourself and say, do I fall? Do I practice this? And how do I respond if it's to me? So let's go ahead and begin right here with Proverbs 26, 28. And I'm in Proverbs 28. All right, Proverbs 26, 28. And the Scripture says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. I think this is a powerful verse that really kind of encapsulates a lot of the things that we're going to talk about here tonight in terms of what does it mean to have a flattering tongue. Sometimes I've looked up every reference to the word flattery in the New and Old Testament. So I've got them all right here on two pieces of paper. So I've got them all. Hopefully we will not have time to read them all, but I will be able to. I've sorted them up into categories. And there are some ideas where it doesn't use the word flattery, but there's the idea of smooth talking or sweetness involved in it. It says, the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So that's the idea of it. Everything that she's saying, she's a wicked woman, but everything she's saying, it sounds so good. It's so enticing. And part of that is, in that context, the word flattery talks about the flattery of her lips. He helps us know that when she's talking about this smooth tongue, that that's part of what flattery is. Psalm 55, 21 says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. There's an aspect of even within prophecy that they've said, prophesy not, they told the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Things that we like to hear, things that make us feel good. This is the kind of preaching that tickles the ears. And he says, prophesy deceit. And so I think the fundamental aspect that we see here in this proverb here is that what is flattering, a flattering mouth is contrasted, not contrasted, is paralleled. So it's synonymous with what else in this verse? Proverbs 26, 28. You've got two statements. You've got one is the subject of one that says a flattering mouth. That's the subject. What's the subject of the other statement? A lying tongue. All right, so we know that flattery is not simply just saying nice things about other people. It's saying them in a lying spirit, and that can happen two ways. One is you are telling somebody something that you know is false. Have you ever had somebody lie to you like that and telling you something really nice and comforting? I remember someone trying to sell me a car. And I don't know what I'm doing, you know, I'm just like, but I'm trying to look, act like I know what I'm doing. And I get underneath the vehicle and look around, see what kind of rust there are and everything. And he's like, oh, and he starts talking to me like I'm a mechanic. Oh man, you're no man's fool. I'm thinking, all right, dude, That ain't going to work, because I'm not going to be deceived into thinking of myself as some mechanical person. I know what you want me to do. You want me to buy this car. And it was interesting how quickly it was for me to see that, because I wasn't going to be deceived into something. I might be deceived in other areas, but I wasn't going to be deceived that I was somehow knowledgeable about cars. And so there's an aspect that type of thing happens all the time. So that kind of leads us into the other second area, at least in the illustration here, is that flattery wants to get something from someone else. So not only is it deceptive, but flattery is trying to benefit myself through that person. And so I'm speaking good things. So I'm going to give you some examples of this. In the Proverbs, flattery is connected quite frequently with seeking sexual advancement. So in Proverbs 2, it says, "You'll deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words." So when someone is trying to deceive you into sexual sin, one of the things that they're going to use is a lot of nice, it's going to be really sweet, it's going to be very kind type thing, but they're trying to get something out of it. It's going to say in Proverbs 7:21, it emphasizes again, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips, she forced him." Not only this, but there's also the possibility of getting political gain. When it comes to the Antichrist and the Antiochus Epiphanes, who epitomized him, it is flattery. That is the way that he's able to come into the kingdom. It says, "In his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flattery." Even the word flattery has the idea behind it in this context as being a slippery trap. That I'm trying by my fair words to deceive you, to say you don't realize that I'm trying to gain something from you. And here it is, political power. That's in three times that word is used in Daniel chapter 11. There's also monetary benefit. This is our reference from the New Testament. Not many times does the word flattery occur in the New Testament, but 1 Thessalonians 2:5 says, "The Apostle Paul's testimony was neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness." So there's aspect of we didn't have a desire to gain money from you that we cloaked underneath wonderful, pious, buttering up words, okay? And so there's an element that says we didn't come in trying to just butter you up and flatter you with our speech, and we weren't trying to gain something from you. And he says, "God is my witness." And then there's also the aspect of just simply acceptance. In Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "For there shall be no more vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel." Meaning these prophets were coming along and they wanted their message to be accepted by the people. And he says, "Your visions or declarations from God are empty, and all you're trying to do is just flatter the people." Let's see here. Jeremiah chapter 14. This is interesting. It says, "The prophets say unto them," what is these things that they say? "Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, a thing of naught, a deceit of their heart." So this aspect here of what was that? Said, "Oh, you're going to have peace. Peace and safety," is the way the prophets would talk about it, in terms of God's going to bless you. You know what? There are whole ministries that are built in this country on having only a positive word to give to people. Now, I'm not sure that there are many positive words that we need to preach on. It's not just preaching on negativity, but we cannot just preach for the pleasure and the acceptance of people. That is unacceptable to the Lord. And he says in Romans 16:18, he says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." They're in it for themselves, and they preach what sounds really good, but they're only trying to please their own belly. There's an aspect to which Job mentions twice that he does not accept a man's person, neither does he give flattering titles to others. He doesn't try to suck up to somebody. He doesn't try to just, you know, flatter them to a place of, oh, they'll accept me. And he said, if I did that, he said, my maker would soon take me away. And so there's an element that says God is going to deal with that. So we're going to look at this in two aspects. Flattery destroys. We see this in the verse that we're looking at here. A flattering mouth worketh ruin. Now, that's not really clear who the ruin is for, but I believe probably in the preponderance of the evidence, it's the working ruin for the person that they're talking to. I'll give you a few references here. He that goeth about as a talebearer, this is Proverbs 20:19, revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. So that's an interesting kind of combination of putting talebearer with flatterer. It seems to be in the indication of this that there's someone who's really talking nice to you, but the whole purpose is so they can get up close to you and find out something about you, and then they're like, oh. And they go around and tell somebody else. And he says, let's see, so you can tell from the aspect of talebearer, their intent is ultimately going to hurt them. I think the clear aspect here, it says the lying tongue, in the contrast with verse 28 here, is hateth those that are afflicted by it. And so the ruin is going towards the person who's being, so in some ways, flattery is lying to the person, and that is afflicting that person. So what are some of the damages that you could do to that person through flattery? I'll open it up here. There's a couple in my mind. Yep, you could. So you're pulling them away, and all of a sudden your influence is poor, and you're using that to direct them, to get them to the place where you want them to be so you can move them. So there's an aspect of, I think, and one way we could kind of summarize that whole idea, many aspects, is I'm going to benefit, and I have no desire. I don't care what the impact is for you. I don't care about who you are. I don't care what but I want to benefit from you. So there's absolutely no love in terms of the heart. That's why it says the lying tongue hateth. We use flattery. We're trying to get something from someone else, and we are being deceitful to that person. You cannot claim that you love them. And so that's an aspect. I could steal something from you. I could take something from you, or I can deceive you to get what I want, and I'm getting something and you're getting no benefit at all. So that's one way we could hurt them. That's another way. I think so. You can say things to someone and you're trying to flatter them up, and that's, what are we stroking? We are stroking the pride. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about how to handle praise. That doesn't necessarily have to, you don't have to be prideful to be praised, but that is the danger that you can set up for someone, setting a trap for them. And I feel like there was a verse of scripture that I had that actually had that very word. So I don't know exactly. I'll probably come across it. All right. Not only does flattery destroy the person who receives it, it destroys the person who speaks it. It says, "He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail." Pretty powerful. Who's going to make sure that happens? No court in the land can make sure that happens. Only God. Only God can look down and say, you're using good, sweet, smooth sounding words to hurt other people. God says, I hate that. I'm going to make sure not only you, but your children's expectations are going to be cut off. Psalm 12:3 puts it very simply, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things." So there's a real inner heart of pride that fuels a flattering lips towards someone else. And the Lord says, "I'm going to cut it off." So fundamentally, flattery is deceit. And so some of the things I've noticed here, I'm looking at this, is that flattery comes from an evil heart. Psalm 5:9 says, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." So flatterer comes out of a heart that is bent and twisted away from God's design of love towards other. It's consumed, intent on self-benefit, self-preservation, with the absolutely no desire to benefit someone else. It says Psalm 12:2, "They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor." That means empty words to them, things that are not true. "With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak." And so we see this element of it comes deep within. It's interesting, I came across several things here. I'm just going to go one after another, some observations, and we've got done. We've got four left here. "You can flatter yourself. For he that flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity is be found to be hateful." And Deuteronomy 11:16 says, "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived." The word translated deceived is the very word flatter in these other passages. And be turned aside. There's an element that you can allow yourself and even get, we often have a very positive image of ourselves. And we can flatter ourselves to a place that is not helpful to us. And it only is a cloak for our own sin and wickedness. And then, most significant of all, you can flatter God. Psalm 78 is a psalm all about Israel. And boy, I love this part where they were turning back to the Lord and they're acknowledging their sin. And in Psalm 78:36, it says, "Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth and lied unto him with their tongues." You can talk to God all spiritual and tell him you're going to do this and that and how you're going to obey him and how you're going to be your servant and if he'll just let you out of this problem, I'll do exactly what you say. And then he relents. We can be like Pharaoh. "I'll let the people go." And then when the circumstances are gone, we turn back to our hard, wicked ways. And God says they flattered him with their tongues. I don't want to do that to God. That is powerful. Interesting, Proverbs 28:23 says, "He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue." So on one side, flattery is saying good things to someone, and rebuking is saying, "Hey, you're in the wrong, brother." And he says, that person right there who's willing to risk a relationship to say the truth is going to have more favor than the person who saw that mustard all over your shirt and never said a word about it. And they didn't really care, because they didn't want to bring something up. And so there's an element that says flattery in some ways produces a refusal to rebuke. I just want them to like me. I just want them to accept me. I just want this and that, but I will not rebuke someone that's in need. I'm not saying we just need to go around and point out every little problem in someone's life. We need to be very careful about that. But reality is, if God's putting something in and you say, "Man, this is, they've got a problem, I need some help, and I'm close to them, I'm their friend," speak the truth to them in love, and God will use that. So I think one of the things that we need to be really careful is, how do you handle praise so that you are not deceived by flattery? The Bible says, "As a fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise." Someone says some good things about you, some really nice things about you. I mean, I have to deal with this all the time. It's really a... you know. You got to put that right in the sifter and say, is this person trying to sell me a car? Not that, but there's an element that says, do they know enough about me to be able to say this? Is this just a genuine encouragement? Are they trying to benefit me in some ways? And so I think we have to be very careful that we're not so big on ourselves. Because if the more we are prideful, the more we are sitting ducks for someone to come along and stroke us the right way and slip something out. You know, Aesop told a fable about this. You guys know the name of that fable? It's the fox and the crow. And the fox was looking for his breakfast, and he saw a crow sitting up in the tree with a piece of cheese. And he said, I don't have to look any further. And he walks up to the tree, and he says, my, look at your beautiful feathers. I have never seen something glisten so brightly in the sun. Look at your beak. It's so beautiful in its shape, and your head is so nice, and I imagine that you must have a beautiful voice. And the crow, feeling so comfortable, and she lost sight of the fact that this was a fox, and that she even lost sight of the cheese that went in her mouth, and she began to sing a note. The cheese fell out of her mouth. Didn't hit the ground because the fox was there to... And he said, thank you. And he walked away. See the elements there? Deceitful. Wanted to get something from someone. Did not care about their benefit at all. Those are the three elements that I think as I go through and look through those things. So you say, I think all three of those are important because if you have two of them, deceitful and wanting to get something from someone, you know, that's not necessarily sin. You say, what? What are you talking about, Pastor? Trust me, every husband knows that. Every wife wants some good flattery every once in a while. You know, see, you don't tell her the truth. I know, I'm just teasing. But you better not be critical, and you better be very encouraging. You better say some nice things, right? And you know what? She doesn't mind hearing that she's the most beautiful woman in the world. She doesn't slap you for that, right? So there's an aspect that says, you can be kind, you can be loving, and there's an aspect of, there's a relationship, you might be shaking your head, what are you talking about, Pastor? But they may know. My wife knows sometimes, I'm telling her sweet things, she's like, I don't believe you, I don't think you believe that. But I love it, and I'm like, yeah, we love each other, it's wonderful. It's okay, I'm not worried about flattering my wife. But you know what would be wrong is constantly trying to flatter my wife to get something I want and not care about her. She wouldn't love that at all. She'd see right through that, and she'd be like, oh, you little devil. She wouldn't want that in one bit. So I think there's an element that all three of those things go through it, and you connect it. Now, obviously, but I don't want you to be overly sensitive, but I've tried to boil it down in just one summary. Flattery is saying good things deceptively to benefit oneself exclusively. It's all about me. I'll say it one more time. Flattery is saying good things deceptively to benefit oneself exclusively. And may God help us be careful, not just to speak and not speak evil, but to make sure that when we are speaking well of somebody else, it's not because we're trying to get something out of them, but that we really are trying to build them up, encourage them for the Lord, and walk with them. All right, very good. Sorry, we covered that whole subject in one night, but I've gone a little long. Let's go ahead and pass out the